Hey everyone, welcome to the next episode of the Life Isn't Linear podcast. Life isn't linear and neither is the journey, but the goal is to keep making progress. This is Josh. First of all, I want to thank you, the audience, for listening. The last episode I did was number 13, and that seems to be tied to a milestone, but I forgot to mention anything about it. So this is me saying thank you for being a listener. And honestly, I have no idea where this podcast will go. I'm starting to get an idea of where I want it to go and what it could be, but for now, I just have the gratitude of being able to put something out in the world. And if just one person has a positive takeaway from any episode, it feels worth it. But I don't want to get off track. Let's talk about the episode that I want to put forward today. As I said a few episodes back, I'm a big electric vehicle fan, particularly a Tesla fan. And there are so many variables to look at when you're thinking about buying a car. But from my observation, it all comes down to the batteries and their efficiency. And after doing a ton of research, I believe battery core efficiency in electric vehicles is the indicator of who can scale, who will survive, and ultimately who will die. Again, I state, I am not an expert. I'm just coming to an opinion after researching batteries from multiple different manufacturers over the last few weeks. And I'm not here to get into the chemistry or what materials they use, just to evaluate the efficiency of the cells that a manufacturer use, because I feel is an indicator of what type of car you should buy or where you should invest your money. As I stated, I have surmised the key to think about is the battery core efficiency. This factor seems to be grossly overlooked when people think about an electric vehicle. They instantly go to brands and labels and things like that. But what you want is the confidence that your car can go the distance. The transition will pick up when people start to realize that you can go anywhere in an electric vehicle. I do feel it is the most important factor when you're choosing an electric vehicle and who will ultimately survive the transition to electrification. The chemistry of battery cells plays a significant role. Lithium-ion batteries are common due to their high energy density, but other chemistries like solid-state batteries are emerging that have the potential for even higher efficiency. One of the biggest hurdles in the electrification process are the batteries that go into the packs. Making these cells requires mining of the raw materials that go into the cells. But getting the general public to understand that these are not the copper tops that sit in your kitchen cabinets at home. They are much more than that. They have wonderful energy density, and they are highly recyclable. Many batteries yield a net charge of 95% after a decade more of use. And what is wild to think is that most of the lithium in that the world needs for the transition resides in the most obvious of places. It's in your closet, your drawers, your desk. That's right, it's all the old cell phones and tablets we refuse to get rid of because of the batteries. The batteries can be recycled, and if the world did recycle these, then that would provide about 25% of the world's needs without any new mining operation. It's absolutely incredible. Sometime, just look up, and I put a link below, to the wonderful things that Redwood Materials is doing. They're a battery manufacturer and recycler out of Nevada. Tesla is the most important company in the world. Get over it. It's true. Now, this is just my opinion, but it's one that's shared by many and shunned by others. Tesla really is reworking the way we do things. They made the electric car concept cool. But what is really cool is what is underneath and the battery efficiency that they have created. Not only do their batteries go the distance and make electrification possible, but they also have mad performance, and they get their batteries to do more with less. The factors they have, like cell arrangement, their cooling systems, and thermal management, impact efficiency, and a well-designed battery can minimize energy loss and extend its lifespan. Tesla has managed to do this better than anyone. Sadly, not all companies will survive the EV transition. There isn't a company on the planet that has enough cash to survive this transition if they can't be profitable. You can't spend your way out of this problem because the hole is that deep and the problem is that challenging. Because being able to acquire batteries for the packs is the ultimate bottleneck for every manufacturer. Getting those cells in scale and at a reasonable cost is key because the battery pack is the most expensive part of the car. Because there just aren't enough battery cells in the world. And there's a reason that Tesla's battery factory in Nevada is 1.5 million square feet, and they're going to expand it to 5 million square feet. But even Tesla still does rely on large battery manufacturers to make their additional proprietary cells. A majority of Tesla cars are dual motor, and they have some single motor options. And they've changed their battery design 3 times over the years, each time making the energy yield higher. They're also using materials that are more abundant, such as lithium iron phosphate. That is a key if you want to scale. Abundant materials at a cheaper price. And scaling is the only way to drive down cost over time. This is called declining cost curves or economies of scale. As the quantity of output goes up, the cost per unit goes down. To scale and make more cars, power walls, and storage, they will need a lot of battery cells. And I mean a lot. Just sometime go online, and I've embedded the link, read Tesla's Master Plan Part 3. The more they make, the more their costs come down. And they can't be gross about it or wasteful. They need to be efficient. But honestly, it's a perfect fitting because they're the most efficient company on the planet. So you may ask, where am I going with all this? I've already done an episode on Tesla and how wonderful they are. Well, I've made a chart that shows just how inefficient a majority of the models that other manufacturers make. You can see the link in the episode page. All the companies are guilty of using a lot of cells. But again, to survive, you need to scale. You can't scale and be wasteful. And my chart is quite simple. The column on the left, the y-axis, is the battery mileage ratio. It is simply a ratio of taking the mileage and dividing it by the battery size of a kilowatt hour. The x-axis on the lower part is the weight of the vehicle. By putting this data on a plot chart, you get a placement. The higher and closer the dot is to the left, the more efficient the car. It's a pretty clear visual. The proof is in the pudding. It's in the data. The chart will show you where they stand. And this is a big appreciation to Matt Joyce. I follow his Twitter page and he and his Tesla research. His charts are amazing and it inspired me to do the research and create my own chart for this podcast episode. I won't be able to comment on every maker out there. I'm only mainly talking about the ones that are making headlines, such as Rivian, GM, and Ford. But the chart has a lot of different cars on there, and my spreadsheet has them in no particular order. I really like the Rivian trucks and SUVs, and I'm very fortunate to live in an area where there are a lot of them. But when you look at the efficiency of their battery packs, it stopped me to pause and think, how will they scale? And then I took it back further to say, how will anyone scale if their packs are so inefficient? So maybe in a weird way, Rivian is what inspired me to do this, because we hear all the hype about Rivian and how they're going to succeed. But will they? Is that possible? How can they scale if they're using way more battery cells than they would need? So for example, the R1T truck gets around 350 to 400 miles in range, but it uses 70% more batteries than the Tesla Model 3 long range. And yes, they are a different type of vehicle, but just think of that. And if the math holds weight, and I believe it does, Tesla can build 3 cars for profit, and Rivian can only make 1 truck unprofitable. That leads me to believe in a battery cell constrained world that is coming, they could find it incredibly difficult to scale and grow. They will have to improve their battery efficiency, lower the weights of their trucks, and bring down their overall cost to improve margins. And that's a very tall order for a growth company. There's nothing magical about how far an electric vehicle can go. Lucid claims 520 miles of range on a 118 kilowatt hour battery pack. They get long range because of all the cells they use in their packs. Nothing more, nothing less. There's no magic there. And they also lose a staggering $500,000 plus per car. I say that again. $500,000 plus per car is what they lose. So I ask, how do you scale that? I don't have to add much more thoughts than this other than alone, it's baffling, considering their high-end vehicle costs around $150,000 and has minimal technology integrated into it. So again, I ask, what's the allure? They are a company with a large interest from Saudi Arabia. Do you really want your money going to the kingdom? I don't. General Motors. When I compare their models, there's very little data to be found because most of their vehicles are renderings and prototypes. General Motors has made billions with the sale of their trucks. Big, powerful trucks. But let me ask you, what happens when internal combustion trucks are no longer wanted? The very vehicles that make them money now quite possibly won't in the future, and their electric vehicle lineup will be losing money. Again, remember from episode 11, most of GM's cars are renderings or prototypes. That's right, there's little to no production. The few electric vehicles that General Motors has produced, such as the electric Hummer, is a monstrosity. It's a waste of cells, design, and overall safety. General Motors is in real trouble. If they try this strategy, they will most likely fail due to all the cells that you have to use to power a vehicle. Just look on my chart in the specs for the electric Silverado. It's a 200 kilowatt battery, and it weighs 8,000 pounds. How do you scale that? And as the profitability in their internal combustion trucks gets more compressed, they will start to lose lots of money, as they will be taking losses on their EV brands. Eventually, they will run out of money, and it will be devastating. Then there's Ford. And I've honestly felt that they are one of the few of the big three that seem to kind of get it and have a sense of urgency. An enormous praise to Jim Farley for wanting to learn from Tesla. Remember, after all of Tesla's patents are open source, meaning anyone can use them or learn from them, yet no one has. But Ford has a ways to go via efficiency. The Mach-E does a fair job in the middle of my chart, but the Ford Lightning does not. They are the only two vehicles that Ford is mass producing right now, and neither one of them is close to profitability. The Mach-E loses $20,000 to $60,000 per vehicle, and their latest financials are very depressing to say the least. How long can that go on for? Ford is trying to squeeze the profits out of their internal combustion engine trucks long enough to survive the transition, and I hope for their sake that it works. Toyota is another good example of how legacy auto will struggle. Now, I have had two Toyotas in my life, and they were honestly great cars. I love my Avalon, and it was wonderful for road tripping, and they had very little maintenance involved. But electric vehicles are barely on Toyota's radar, and they have stated that they want the customer to choose what type of powertrain to drive going forward. Internal combustion engine, hybrid, hydrogen, electric, they are thinking of producing all four powertrains. Now, this is the company that pioneered the Prius, and really did a wonderful job putting batteries on the map. But this is how they're thinking. This is how dire it is. And Toyota is a great example of how quickly a company could die. If a company like Toyota is sitting on, let's say, $20 billion in cash, and that's being very generous, as most car companies don't have that much money on hand, that is not enough for them to survive the transition. They will burn through $2 billion per quarter to try and implement a solid plan. Just look at Rivian's financials. They were in this similar pattern a year ago. It could take years to build plants or retrofit existing ones. How many quarters can you burn that much money before shareholders get pissed or you run out of money? My math says 10 quarters or about 2.5 years. Yes, there is competition out there, but again, automakers can't be gross about it and wasteful. They need to be efficient with the batteries. The other day, I received an email where Tesla just opened their 50,000th supercharging station. No other charging company is even close, and the value of Tesla's supercharging network is immense. And I do remember when President Biden ran, he claimed that the U.S. would build 500,000 charging stations in the first year. Yeah, right. Tesla's been at it for over a decade, and they're only a tenth of the way there. They have created the right network for their battery packs, and no one else can say the same. Hence, why Tesla is the North American standard for charging, and it will be eventually for the world. Just wait till Tesla gets into licensing of full self-driving and other of their proprietary softwares. Again, I could spend hours commenting on all the companies and their quest to build electric vehicles and scale them. But in the end, it comes down to batteries. The world has very few manufacturers of battery cells. It's CATL, LG Chem, Panasonic, and Tesla, to name a few. And companies like Albemarle Corporation provide the raw materials such as lithium. But if you want to get a feel for what the battery and cell material world looks like, check out the Global X Fund, ticker symbol LIT. And also, the best channel anywhere on batteries is The Limiting Factor, hosted by Jordan Gieske. As I conclude this episode, when thinking of this future, you have to think about the batteries. The future does look promising, and I love that so many companies are trying. And we are seeing advancements in solid-state batteries, which promise even higher efficiency and safety. The innovations in materials, manufacturing, and recycling techniques will continue to drive improvements in the battery supplies, making electric vehicles even more mainstream. One day, and it will be soon, there will be more electric cars on the road than gas cars. But whose battery are you going to let drive you around? My chart should help you decide. As always, thank you so much for listening. If you enjoy this episode, please give a like button and rate it as 5 stars. And also subscribe to the channel for the latest updates on episodes. And as always, feel free to email me at lifeisn'tlinearpodcast@gmail.com if there's anything you have to say or feedback you want to give. It's always welcome and read. And as always, be respectful and make good decisions.